Hello everyone and welcome back to the Start Across Social podcast. Today we're coming to you from our apartment in Benidorm, really just a few hundred meters away from the course where we had fantastic racing today, both in the men elite and women elite categories. With me here to talk about all of the action is Issam. What did you think of the racing today, Issam? Nice day out, huh? And nice to record in the sun for once.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I mean, it is nice to be honest, because normally it's a bit colder and I'm then in my room after watching the race, and then we try to analyze it and go over it a little bit, and now it's a bit of a different experience. So I would say that it was a very nice one, and yeah, really enjoyed it. It was a great day out, and we were also Saturday with the training ride, the official one, and that one was also very pleasant. So we had for me at least, I had a blast those 2 days.
Good weather does help, an amazing atmosphere also helped. The course was changed a little bit compared to last year. Big section up in the woods was made a bit shorter, a couple of other sections were extended. It was pretty nice, and Lauren Sveik probably also thought it was pretty nice, a nice day to hammer it from the start because he had the fastest start. It was also the only time we would see him at the front of the race. After that, we needed to wait very long to see him, and on TV you probably didn't see him at all because he dropped like a rock. But the first few laps of the race were entertaining because all the big names, it's the final race with Van Aert, Van der Poel and Pidcock at the start, all of them had their issues at the start. Pidcock, as usual, had a bad start, but Van Aert unclipped at the start, was also far back. Van der Poel had a good start, but then had a mechanical issue, which caused him to drop even further back than those two. In the second lap, Van Aert made it to the front of the race, started pushing, because Van der Poel was behind, but Van der Poel with an insane acceleration on the pavement, on the climb, just stormed to the front, was in the front group. Then later he attacked again on that climb, and we had two leaders, Van Aert and Van der Poel. It looked to be game over, but they were hesitating a bit. Thibaut Nys came back, we had three leaders for a while, Thibaut Nys was right up there with them. But then Nys had a mechanical, Van Aert and Van der Poel hesitated, and Van Tourenhout got back, and then a bigger pack got back even later. Pidcock was in there. It was a nice group. We had four leaders for a while. It went back and forth until in the penultimate lap we had a leading pack of 10 riders. But from those 10 riders, Van der Poel, who was right up the front, made a mistake in the sand pit. He clipped a pole on the exit on the right-hand side and crashed on the left-hand side after that. He was thrown back and basically game over for him. From there it went like the following. Van Tourenhout and Van Aert were at the front. Tourenhout tried to attack but couldn't get rid of Van Aert. They went into the final lap together. In that final lap, Van Tourenhout tried to attack again through the sand pit. Didn't work. Van Aert attacked on the pavement on the big climb and looked to be headed towards victory as he dropped Van Tourenhout. However, Van Aert thought in the final lap, no more risks. I'm not jumping the barriers. I'm going to take the win. What happens? On the barriers, he walks. And then when he's remounting, he doesn't jump high enough. He clips his right foot behind his saddle, crashes, and then remounts again, kicking off his saddle. So he only had the metal part on his bike left there on the saddle stem. And somehow, despite all that, he still managed to take victory ahead of Van Tourenhout. Van der Poel took it easy for half a lap, but after that set up the pace, picked up the pace, looked to threaten for third, but that wouldn't happen. He would end fifth. The battle for third in the final lap was between Nys and Iserbeet. Iserbeet had a lot of bike changes during the race, not for punctures. Well, he had one puncture, but had a couple more for a shifter, which was broken, and he hit a pole. So Iserbeet, despite all of that, was in third, but got passed by Thibaut Nys in the final lap. So the podium, all Belgians, after all the suffering they've been through, complete the top four. Van Aert, Van Tourenhout, Nys and Iserbeet ahead of Van der Poel in fifth. Yeah, it's some entertaining race, some action. It's definitely a shout for most entertaining race of the season. I know we had a couple of very good ones in the early phase of the season. It's definitely the most entertaining one with Van der Poel at the start. I don't know, how should we place this victory of Van Aert? I think, personally, that Van Aert looked okay today. He just wanted to end the season on a high. At the same time, Van der Poel seemed relaxed. It's difficult to place like the results. Everybody has been training. Van der Poel, to me, just made the impression like, I'm just going to move up through the field. And then, I'm stronger, but I don't really want to go all out today. I'll just see, and then you have the risk of when you make a mistake that you're not able to win. But on the other hand, what does it matter for Mathieu van der Poel? All he cares about is taking that sixth world title in 2 weeks' time.
I definitely think that that's for him the most important objective that he has in cyclocross. But where do you place this victory? I think that for Van Aert today, it was a race where he was quite well. I think Van der Poel tried to put him under pressure, but was not able to get rid of Van Aert. And I think that could have maybe changed the race, and Van der Poel then had maybe a bigger gap and all that. But because Van Aert was able to sit in his wheel, Van der Poel was not really keen to keep on pushing, and that made race a bit closer, and also others were able to join back. Van Tournaut was one of them, and had very good legs, and was able to, to make very good use of it. I mean, Thibaut Nijs was also racing quite well, very strong. But as you said, it's a bit of a strange week for the riders, because most of them had nationals and then went for a training camp. Yeah, what have they done in a training camp? One can have their peak and try to have their peak in Tabor. Someone else will try to already have some sort of a light kind of training to be already good here in Benidorm and be good for the next couple of weeks. But it's difficult to say. Normally, a course like this doesn't really give you the biggest of gaps, especially because you just, when you have riders in your wheel, you just try to, make sure that you not pull too much for the other riders. So I think that in the end, it was a great race. It was exciting. Van Aert with his mishaps in the with the last barriers was not the greatest. And then from there, yeah, it all came together for him, and he was able to get his win with Van der Poel at the start line as well. And I think in the end, in my opinion, definitely one of the more exciting races that we have seen with Van der Poel at the start. And overall, if we later go with talk about the women's category, it was definitely there also very exciting. So, it was a very, very good Sunday of racing, I would say.
Yeah, that point that you made about the training is super, super valid. I know Zoë Baxter did a training ride yesterday of almost 5 hours. That's not a preparation for a cyclocross race. You're not going to be fresh if you do that. And normally, before we went to Benidorm, you had the French races. We would either be in Pontchâteau or in Nîmes. And most of the riders that were on training camp didn't show up to those races. They were training, and then you knew, okay, all the ones that are racing here have prepped this race like every other race. And then around Hoge Heide that weekend was when you would start making conclusions like, hey, how do they come back from Spain? How do they come back from training? Now we don't have that. I have not gone to the extent of researching Strava details on every single rider to try and draw a conclusion of what they have done. So I can't really draw that conclusion. I just know it for Baxet because I happen to come across that in my Strava feed. So that's fine. But on the other hand, it makes it difficult to place this, as you say. Like Van der Poel said, he did a lot of training and didn't feel fresh because of that. I believe that. I mean, if you're building towards a road season, you kind of have to do that. I still think Van der Poel would have won. I felt like today he just didn't really care. He just came here with his white shorts, just chilling about, and oh, well, it's fun. It's a race near my house. Oh, there's a lot of fans. Yeah, well, it's nice, but it doesn't really matter that I didn't win. It just felt like he had a bit of an attitude today, like, today is not what it's about for me. I've made my statement, 10 wins in 10 races. Today I don't want to dig too deep. I want to win on economical mode. And he could very well have won if he hadn't made that silly mistake. It's kind of like Van der Poel, the only rider that you can see like still looking for the edges of the course there. If you just look at those two big accelerations which he put in on that pavement, on that big climb, you could see that he was the strongest on the day. You don't buy anything for it. This is cross. Van Aert deserved the win despite his mishaps. And yeah, I think about those mishaps of Van Aert, I get why he's running. I always advise you to run if you have a lead and the barriers are tricky. In Hulst, when I was with the USA Cycling Juniors, I did also shout to the leader in the women's junior race, Fida Lopez de San Juan, to run the barriers in the final lap. I would always recommend it because it's less risky. But then at the same time, it's like a super silly mistake if it then goes wrong. Like you're avoiding risk by doing something else. And then all of a sudden it was like he didn't know how to remount a bike because first that crash and then, well, he kicked his saddle off. That was more a consequence of the crash. But yeah, that's just unfortunate. I don't think you made a wrong decision there to run. I would always recommend it, especially because these barriers here in Benidorm are a lot more difficult. I don't think you could really see why they were difficult if you were watching on the TV, but they're like at an angle. The right side of the course there is higher than the left side, and the barriers on the left side are slightly higher. The grass there itself was also super slow. There'd been a bit of rain earlier this week. It was super soggy there, one of the only sections of the course where it was like that. And then furthermore, the barriers were also like lifted on the left side. They weren't exactly placed on the ground. It made it pretty tricky. So especially in those conditions, I would recommend Van Aert to run, or just anyone basically, if you think I should avoid taking risks. But I'm betting you is some Van Turenhout. After he got dropped on that climb, he was like, okay, it's going to be second today. He's probably kicking himself now that he didn't push all out, because he came super close in the end, because Van Aert needed to do that final part without a saddle.
He probably would have won it, I would say, because I think that, you know, without a saddle, it's so difficult then to get yourself going and have the same or similar pace to what you were doing before. So yeah, it is, I would say, kind of a missed opportunity, but I think that for Van Turenhout, that sort of disappointment will probably be changing in a very delighted emotion, because I think that before this race, if you would have asked me that Van Turenhout would finish second, I would have said that your prediction is very bold and probably kind of ridiculous in a way, because with the starting field today, that was, in my opinion, not possible, and he was able to do so. Of course, you have Van der Poel that drops off out of that contention for the podium, and then Pidcock didn't really have the best last lap. So then it's kind of, yeah, it opens up a couple of places, but then still for him to be up there after racing in Kasteelcross as well on the Saturday, and then flying over in the morning, I don't think that is the best preparation. And then to still be able to finish second, I think, very strong. And he was racing also very strong. And yeah, I mean, there is not much you can do about it right now. And Van Aert definitely deserved that victory after, you know, obviously with Van der Poel not being up there in the last lap. But, you know, for him then to get the victory, I definitely think that he deserves that, because he was, in my opinion, the second best. And if the best has issues, then he was the one there in line to get that victory.
Yeah, I had my doubts, because Van Turenhout also didn't come on a training camp here. He was in Belgium, where the weather has been horrible, a lot of snow. And training-wise, I think it's better if in this point of the season you come here to Spain, to where we are now. There are so many cyclists here. It's just the hotspot. I mean, you don't necessarily need to come here, but with the race, it makes sense. And I think it's just better. Of course, there's like parts to it, like, hey, if you're in Belgium, you're getting used to the weather will be more like Hoogheide, the weather will be more like Tabor, and you're more prepared, rather than that you're a bit spoiled here with the good weather. But I don't know, it seems like he's just reborn with that win in Zonnebeke yesterday, because there he just had a nice playing field. He was just playing against Gianni Vermeers and Tim Merlier, with all the due respect for them, and I love seeing Merlier do cross, but again, like, it's no opposition for a rider named Michael van Turenhout, the European champion. He should have won there, and he did without any effort. So, to then come to Benidorm, I don't know. Again, you don't know what the training is. He's been in horrible weather. I've seen him do a couple of short rides in the forest. Maybe he's just fresh. The rest is maybe tired. Belgian championships, then big training week, and van Turenhout comes in fresh and does well. Maybe, but the fact is that he was very good, and you mentioned this during the race, Van Turenhout is such an incredibly skilled rider in positioning himself. If you are in a group and Van Turenhout is there, he always moves up. He doesn't care if your name is Wout van Aert, Mathieu van der Poel, or whoever. He will move up. He will put him right in between there. That's what he did today. And that's a very valuable skill to have, because on a course like today, which is the most roadish crit you will get in the cyclocross season, your positioning is crucial. Somebody makes a mistake, somebody has a mechanical, somebody just can't hold the wheel anymore, you're ahead of it. And that's what he did well today. But at the same time, also Van Turenhout, like, he repacked himself in the race. Like, in the first half of the race, do you remember that shot? Van der Poel, we're following him with the drone. He storms by seven riders. Van Tourenhout looks to the left and is like, okay, it's not for today. Goodbye, I'm going home. He's like, ah, I'm done. What's going on here? Van der Poel is flying. I just got passed by a fighter jet. It's not normal, that acceleration by Van der Poel. And Van Tourenhout was like, wow, this is done. I give up. And then he just repacks himself. And where the riders in the first half of the race, Ron Haar, Swake, Isebiet, Nijs, both having their reasons, but they were there up there. But at the end of the day, when it was crunch time, it was money hour, Van Tourenhout was there. And that also surprised me.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that was kind of the surprise. But to come back on what you said, it was indeed just the way he can position himself in a group. And he knows it's vital. And we have said it a couple of times already in certain races that, you know, just the positioning is, it's sometimes kind of underestimated by certain riders. And you can just see that he didn't really shy away from getting in between those guys and even leading them out at certain points. So, and I think that is the way you have to raise them, because if you would just sit in their wheels, you give them the opportunity to just, you know, straight up attack you on their strongest points, and you should be ahead of them and try to make it as difficult as possible for them and maybe even demotivate them. You know, sometimes they are in a position and are like, I will try next lap, I will not try this lap, and that's an extra lap saved of an attack that you might be able or might not be able to follow. So yeah, I think that it was a very good race from his side, but it's, again, it is very difficult to place it somewhere. And I think the next week will definitely give us a better idea of it. But then you also have certain riders that will not go full out and already are with their minds in Tabor. So it's now kind of the guessing game, who is going to be good, who's not good, where can you play something. And then when we reach Tabor, then we might get a whole different ball game, and certain riders that we kind of doubted would then rise to the occasion and be very well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of why I'm talking maybe a bit more than normally about the, like, what do we place this result? How do we think this compares? Because we are going to Worlds. It's just 2 weeks away. The reason everybody is in Spain now is to actually prepare for those World Championships. In November, it's also difficult to place the results because you have different form curves. But now with the Worlds around the corner, it's just a bit more crucial to see, like, hey, how is everything going? So, yeah, it's tricky, but what I do think we saw further confirmation of is Thibaut Nijs and Eli Isebiet both having good form levels. Isebiet, he had some issues. He had a flat, was knocked back, came all the way back up, also because the pace up front wasn't relentless. There were a couple of pace drops. He went for the record most pit stops today because he went in a large number of times. I do know what was up. We saw them fix their shifter. We were watching in front of the pits for most of it with the Jumbotron in the distance, but a couple of issues there. Then just loses to Thibaut Nijs, and last week or some, Thibaut Nijs couldn't really continue it during the race. He faded in those final two laps. He's done some more training here in Spain, and it's premature conclusion, hard to place. I will keep saying that disclaimer, but it looked good today. He was right up there with Van Aert and Van der Poel at that mechanical, but he also repacked himself from that group. I thought for a while, ooh, he's sliding back a bit too far now. He's passed by Van der Haar, but he went right back up and took that third place, and I think it's his first podium in a race since, well, when? It's been a while. Since Koppenberg, maybe? Probably since Koppenberg. So I think he can be happy, and we obviously hope this continues towards Worlds, but the signs are slightly promising.
Yeah, I agree. I think that definitely was very promising to see, and it reminded me kind of how he was performing last year in Benidorm, because, you know, last year it was also when he arrived there, it looked so strong. It was, I think he came back from a training camp. He had a crash during that race as well, and had also a couple of unfortunate stuff happening to him, and then he was still able to win that race despite everything not going his way in a way, and was super strong. And I think today as well, it kind of reminded me of that race that he was doing last year, and that wasn't Thibaut Nice in a very good form, and today it was also, it looked very good. And I think that it's, again, very hard to say where that will lead him to in the next couple of weeks. But for sure, it looked very good, and it was very promising to see. And a bit of a shame that he had that issue, because he lost quite some time with that. And, you know, after that, he was still able to kind of get himself in a very good position. And finishing on the podium is definitely not a bad result for him. So I think that he can be very satisfied with that result.
Let's look at the entire top 10. Van Aert ahead of Van Doornhout, Nijs, Izerbeet and Van der Poel, all riders we have just discussed. Toon van der Bos, good ride in 6th ahead of Lars van der Haar, who continues to struggle with his form. 8th place was for Felipe Ort, who beat Tom Pidcock and Clément Venturini for the final places in the top 10, 8, 9 and 10. That were some. We have to talk about Felipe Ort. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard, "Vamos Felipe, vamos, venga." It's all of the time. So many Spanish people here. More than 75% of the tickets here were sold to people from Spain. Don't let the media believe you anything else, that it's a majority of British, Dutch or Belgian people here. By far, most people here were from Spain. And already yesterday, when you in the training, when he was going around, the people were going crazy. There were more people than in some Belgian races even. Like yesterday, I think easily 3,000, 4,000, maybe even 5,000 people walking around that venue. So home race, of course, carried by the crowd, maybe got carried away a little bit too much in the first part of the race when he was up there in the first three positions, but it's forgiven, and just like last year, he delivers in front of his home crowd in his home region as well.
Yeah, and it's an important role that he has for the region, the race itself, and Spain as a whole in terms of their representation in cyclocross, and I think it was visible that he feels that pressure in a way. And he delivered, I feel, because I think that it is important that Spain has a rider that is relevant in cyclocross, male or female. At the moment, it's definitely Felipe Ors that is the most famous cyclocross rider that Spain has at the moment, and also the most successful, I would say. It was great to see how he was just, you know, giving it his all, taking it in, and making also time for the fans. I mean, that is also something that I kind of noticed, that, you know, the Spanish fans definitely want to have this kind of interaction with the riders, maybe even more than in Belgium in a way. And I think that is obviously good, but then you also need the riders to make that time as well. And we saw on the Saturday and also on the Sunday, Pidcock make a lot of time for his fans. You know, Van Aert and Van der Poel a little less, but they also have their moments. And I think that is important because, you know, it's not very usual that someone like Pidcock or Van der Poel or Van Aert will race in Spain, let alone cyclocross. So yeah, I think that it's definitely important for the region and for the country itself and for cyclocross in general as an international brand. And yeah, in the end, I think for Orts, very good race, and it looked very good, and he gave it his all. And I think that this result could have been a little bit better if he paced himself a little bit better. But overall, I think that he can be very satisfied with this. And, you know, for him, it's he probably takes the car and it's an hour drive or something. And then he's already home and he can relive the emotions and let it sink in. And I think he can be very proud of what he did today. And it was a very, very good ride from his side.
Pidcock can also take his car and drive back to Andorra because his purple Porsche was there. Or at least it looked like it was Pidcock's Porsche. I don't know. But yeah, that was parked with the Ineos team bus there, unlike the Lamborghini of Van der Poel, which wasn't there this week. Pidcock, yeah, final race of the season. He looked a lot better than he did during the Christmas period when he was sick and just looked pretty fit, did a lot of base training, and he looked pretty good during the race. I don't think we should value like his result 9th in the end. He didn't race for a result. He raced to have a good time, enjoyed the time with the fans. One of the only big names yesterday to show up for the training. Took an extensive amount of time to take pictures and sign autographs for fans. It was very, very nice to see, and really shows that he's a big name in the sport. And yeah, he's loved, and it looked pretty good today on the bike, but kind of similar like last year. Last year, it was also his final race. He was going at it, having a good time, and then the result didn't matter to him. And yeah, that's what it is. This season, we'll see if he ever really comes back to cross, or this is just the future for him. We'll find that out in the future. Maybe he does what the rider just behind him did. Venturini focused on the road and then later on in his career when he was 29, decided to come back. Looking for another top 10 at Worlds this summer. He's done it 2 years in a row, and if it's fast in Tabor, I don't rule it out. He was 10th today. If you take out Van Aert and Pidcock out of the occasion, Fantorini is 8th. He can do well. He put in a good race today, and I don't think we can say the same for everyone. There were definitely a couple of underperformers. Isam, let's start with the two. Cameron Mason is maybe the worst one. 32nd, horrible day out for him. Apart from the course, I think his form at the moment just isn't there. But Laurens Zweig, come on, Isam. Like, this man is hyping himself up for the Belgian Championships because he was good in Zonhoven. This is the best course of the season for him. He gets one chance to do something relevant in a big race. He's there in the first lap, and then he ends 20th. Like, how? Why?
And the question is, do you feel those legs before you start? Or are those legs just, you know, they kind of lie to you in a way, and you try to just go at it in the first lap, and then you, because it was basically the first lap only that he was there at the front, and from there on it was just lap after lap, losing positions left, right and center, and in the end it was awful to see in a way. And I think that it's a bit of a shame, especially if you take his last season into consideration, how good that was. You know, it was almost a Laurens Zweig 2.0, just a new kind of, you know, very happy with his new environment and stuff, and it feels that already worked out, and it's not even relevant at this point where he is racing or the fact that he's at a new team. Yeah, I think that it is not great to see him in the shape and the state that he is at the moment. It's kind of sad in a way, and I hope that he can bounce back from that, because it's difficult for a rider to think that the legs do one thing, and then in the end you end up somewhere in a position that you don't really expect and don't really want to be in as well. So yeah, it was not a good day in the office for Laurens Zweig, and to be honest, his whole season so far hasn't been a very good outing. And yeah, for him it's probably maybe trying to have a good Worlds, see if you can have a good result left or right in the end of the season, and then really focus on the next season and try to make sure that it doesn't happen again and regroup yourself. I think that he still has time in his career, and there is definitely some years left in him, but you know, it is it's going to be very difficult to bounce back from how bad this season was, and it's going to be interesting to see if he's able to do so.
Also no good day today for Joris Nieuwhuis. I think the course was too fast, and his teammate Pim Ronnaert didn't have a good day either. He completely faded. He was up there in the beginning of the lap. I don't know if there was a flat. I didn't see him come in for a bike change, but I don't know for certain either if there was maybe something off camera or just out of our sight, because we were both on site, and then sometimes you miss stuff. I think we can go to the women's race, because there I certainly did not miss a single thing, Isam, because it was a great race. Again, it was a repeat of what we had last year, almost an exact copy. We had three leaders for most of the race, Van Empel, Pietersen, Alvarado. But can we count Alvarado as a leader? Maybe, but Alvarado was on the rubber band at the back. She was dropped, and then when the pace dropped at the front, she came back. And that happened a few times. But really, we were watching a battle Van Empel-Pietersen. The race went as followed. Every single lap, Van Empel hit the sand pit first and attacked. She opened a 1-2 second gap, which Pietersen then closed. And then they both placed attacks on the big pavement climb without success. Pietersen then led the downhill to put Van Empel under pressure. Van Empel never made a mistake. Pietersen then kept leading until the barriers, where she jumped and tried to put Van Empel under pressure. Pietersen gained 1 or 2 seconds. Van Empel closed it before the start finish, and then everything repeated itself. The final lap also went like that. Van Empel tried to attack through the sand pit without success. Van Empel launched a massive attack on the paved climb. Pietersen cracked a little bit, but managed to come back in the downhill. She couldn't take the lead before the first part of the downhill, but she took the lead a bit later. Tried to put Van Empel under pressure before the barriers. That didn't work. Pietersen jumped the barriers, but Van Empel was right on the wheel. However, this lap they didn't wait, because it was crucial to take the final corner first. Pietersen went all out, but just on the final, slightly off-camber section, Van Empel launched a dive bomb into the 180 turn. She made contact with Pietersen, but they stayed on their bike. Van Empel took the final corner first and took the win ahead of Pietersen, Alvarado ending third. Some race there, Isamet was super entertaining. The crowd was on their feet for everything that went on there. I don't think we can really be too harsh on Pietersen here for not winning this race. It looked good. It's hard to drop somebody if you're so evenly matched. I think we can conclude that form-wise, they're pretty evenly matched based on what we've seen here and seen in the end of the Christmas period. But I don't know. Like, the only point of critique I can give on Pietersen is, hey, on that final section, you should have taken the inside line and completely sacrificed your line through the corner just because you knew Van Empel would dive bomb you there. That's the only part of critique. The door was wide open there, and that's a bit of a mistake. But for the rest, she did what she had to do. She put Van Empel under pressure in the downhills where she's vulnerable. Her confidence there wasn't really there. She lost a couple of seconds a number of times. Pietersen hopped the barriers. She won time there. Okay, maybe she could have taken the lead in the sand pit a few times, but I really don't have many points of critique here on Pietersen. It was a good ride, but on this course, Van Empel is just the best rider in the world. What are you going to do against that?
Yeah, indeed. I think that after the race, that was the feeling that I had immediately, that it was for Pietersen, I wouldn't say a lost battle, but especially if you enter the last lap with Van Empel on the course, as we have seen today, it was, yeah, just not going to happen for Pietersen. I think that she did everything almost right. I mean, the way she was racing definitely was a good way, putting on the pressure in certain sections and really trying to make use of her good legs that she had. She had a good day, I would say. There's not much you can try as a rider, because the abilities that you have are just very limited on this course as well. I mean, you can use your technical abilities, but there's only so much you can do. And Van Empel is definitely not the worst technically, and it seems that her confidence is also a bit more up, which is important. And then you have to wait for the sprint, and you know, I would say in the sprint as well, it's not going to be very easy for Pietersen to win from Van Empel. So I would say, I think in the end, the strongest one. Pietersen definitely left that gap open there in the corner, but that wouldn't have changed, because I think that if Van Empel would have sprinted from second, she still would have won. But then it gets more difficult, obviously, but in the end, I still think that Van Empel would have won there. So it was a very, very entertaining race. I think better actually than the men's race, to be honest. I really enjoyed this one as well, and it was great to watch. And probably the one that I that was probably the most exciting was Alvarado getting dropped and then coming back and then getting dropped again and then coming back and then getting dropped and then coming back and then eventually getting dropped. But that was also very cool to see.
The police cars have passed by here now. Maybe they finally arrested Van der Poel for wearing those horrible white bibs.
They're not horrible.
Ah, they are. They are horrible. It's horrible. Luckily, Alvarado didn't wear them, although those bibs of the World Cup leaders jersey are also ugly. Like, please, next year, cook up a good design. Get rid of this ugly red. Like, use some bright red. Like, the red that you actually have on your website and on the finish banner. That's good red. Not this red, which looks like blood dried up there 2 years ago and you forgot to wash your skin suit after a horrible crash or something. But yeah, all that ugliness in the kit which Alvarado has been wearing all season didn't seem to hamper her to date. Actually, good to see her, like, be able to be up front there the entire race, because the last two races, Gullichem and Nationals, really weren't good for her with her back. So it looks to be going a bit better, and I didn't hear any interviews, so I don't really know if she said anything about it. I do know that with back injuries, there's always the risk of it coming back, and I certainly hope it doesn't for her. But it wouldn't surprise me if, like, the rest of her season is a bit up and down. Of course, I don't hope so. I hope it's solved now and she just is consistent and it was just a temporary dip. But yeah, she's done very good. As long as she finishes next week in Hoge Heide, she should be able to secure the overall win. She has a lead of like 35 points or something. So that also means Pietersen needs to win, which is not a given. I think, I don't know. You said it pretty well, that battle between Pietersen and Van Empel. So let's look at the entire top 10. Van Empel, Pietersen, Alvarado. Fourth place went to Brandt ahead of Vash. Sixth was Casasola ahead of Verdonschot, Schreiber, Worst and Bakstedt. I would like to talk here about the battle for fourth. There was a group there of Brandt, Vash and Casasola. Brandt ended fourth there, Issam. What do you make of her race? I thought she didn't make a great impression today. Of course, in one of the first corners in the field, she was held up. She was in the inside of a 180 corner, got chopped off, was pretty far back. But to me, she didn't make a great impression during the rest of the race. Never really looked to have that fire which she really had last week.
Yeah, I would say that it, for me at least, it wasn't really the best course for Brandt, but definitely, yeah, something was kind of off, I would say, and it didn't help from the start that you're not in the best position, because I think here you definitely don't want to have a bad start, or you want to be the best and have a bad start, because then you're obviously able to kind of get back and recover from it. But if you are on a similar level and it's going to be a close battle, you definitely don't want to have that bad start. So I think that didn't really help. And I don't know, I saw some traces of dirt on the back as well, so I don't, maybe something happened as well during the race. But I still think that for her, you know, if you look specifically to how her race went, it was fourth was the maximum achievable. And I think she just basically has to forget what happened this race and move on to the next, try to recover, maybe have some training sessions in and see what happens next weekend, because I think that she shouldn't forget what happened in the Nationals, because that was a very good day for her. And I definitely think that that form didn't go anywhere, and it will definitely return next weekend. So it's going to be interesting to see where that is compared now to Van Empel, Pietersen and also Alvarado.
And again, you don't know what training she has exactly been doing. It's very well possible that she's more tired at the moment and therefore just wasn't fresh enough today. And we can't, as you say, just forget about those results at Nationals, because that performance there was super impressive. If we look at the pre-ride video of Pietersen, Pietersen is there saying that she thinks it was a great course for her. I'm not entirely sure about that, but we regardless can't forget about what a performance she put in there. She raced last week, Blanca Vash didn't, and I think that was a wise decision. I did have my doubts if she would return after that collarbone fracture. I thought it was a very rushed return to cross. I certainly feel like that was a valid assumption at the moment, also because her first races back before the Christmas block were just not good enough. That race in Boom and the race in Flamanville just weren't quite there. She improved during the Christmas block with a couple of good results, then also didn't race as much there as I expected, and above all, I didn't expect that she would skip the national championships. She said this is her first time doing a training camp in the winter, which I think is pretty interesting considering it's her second season at SD Works, or she's going into her third season maybe already. I think that's pretty interesting. So it seems to be doing well. She had a very bad start, was also held up somewhere, moved up through the field super nicely, looked strong, didn't really have the games to beat Brandt in the final lap, but she looked strong, she looked powerful, and I mean, I don't know. Do I think that Vash can be a podium contender in Tabor? Yes. But I don't think it's that likely based on the season. Based on the season, I would put her where she is now, behind Van Empel, Pietersen, Alvarado and Brandt. This is where I would expect her to be. I don't think she can do like what Persico did. But at the same time, she's showing like this bandwidth of level. If she can do this next week as well, that we should consider her as a serious podium contender. And that would be a good end to the season. And just looking at the way everything is going, like not only the cross results, also just the fact she's road U23 world champion. Okay, flawed because of the way the race works and everything, but the results are coming, and finally everything seems to be going her way at SD Works. It's been a rough year and a half, 2 years, but Vash and SD Works are finally seeming to like get into a good flow.
Yeah, and I think it was about time in a way, I would say, but It was really a shame that incident with the collarbone happened and that she was injured and then had to come back. I think that it kind of ruined what potentially could have been a very good season for her, I would say. And today was definitely very encouraging. It was great to see her, you know, race with a good form. I mean, it was just, you know, she was able to get herself back to the front and it looked very good. So I hope that that can continue and that we can see that for many seasons to come, and that we can see her in a full season as well. I think that, you know, SD Works definitely is not a bad place for her at the moment. Don't forget, there was no running today, so that might have helped also a little bit. But if we get certain condition in Tabor, and I would probably aim more to a dry course, a faster course, I definitely think that Fush can, you know, have a very good result. But, you know, that is obviously if it involves a little bit more running, then it's going to be more and more difficult. But, you know, shouldn't be looking too much into the worlds. I think for now, if you look at her form right now, it looks very good. And I hope that she can maintain that and that she can make use of it in the next couple of weekends.
Tabor, normally not a course with a lot of running, which isn't up for her. Yeah. I think it's interesting, Esam, because Vash last year, when I was in Tabor, was practicing to hop those barriers, and she actually made it over the first one. She almost made it over the second one at every try. She didn't do it in the race. But then she never really hops the barriers in the race. So I think that's going to be interesting. Is she going to pull a trick there that she's able to jump, or does she just not have the confidence to do it in the race? I lean towards the latter. She did today end ahead of Casasola. She did pretty well. It's, I think, a reasonably okay course for Casasola. She seems to be a rider that does well here. I wouldn't be too surprised if Casasola also starts performing pretty well on the road, just considering everything we have seen this season. Behind Casasola, I don't know if there's that much interesting to talk about, really. Let's talk about Baxedesam. I think it's maybe a bit of an underperformance compared to what we've seen this season, but we already said she trained a lot this week on the training camp, and yesterday 5 hours on the bike is no good preparation. So what I actually want to talk about is that I love the fact that the entire team of Canyon SRAM showed up for this race to support her. They all came in by bike. Nivea Doma was there, Dygert was there, a couple of director sportives came there on the bike. They were all there to cheer her on, and I thought that was super nice to see, a very great team spirit and just super, super wholesome.
Yeah, totally. And I think that it's also important, I would say, or not important, but it kind of shows how the team is functioning and that they are, you know, that they are team members and that they support each other in what they do. And I think that is also a very important feature that you need to have in a team. It's important that the team is sort of a group of friends that would do everything for each other and understand each other and, you know, help each other in certain situations. If you are the leader and someone else is the helper, that they would also help in certain situations and not only go for their own chances. And I, you know, it's not specifically that is now you can lead out of the fact that they went to the course that is the case, but I think that it's definitely important to see that they are a very good functioning group in a way, and they like each other and they also want to support each other. So I think that is important. And yeah, it looks like she's in a very good place with the team where she's at the moment with Canyon SRAM. And it's, you know, for her, you know, it seems that she's very comfortable at that team. And I think that team can definitely offer her a lot of great teammates, obviously, where you can lead off in terms of road performance. And they also give her very good cyclocross support. So I think that is also very important for her. And she can do this multidisciplined season over the course of a year, and I think that is important as well. So yeah, I mean, for Buxted, after the cyclocross season, there is another season coming up for her, so it's going to be interesting what she can do on the road as well. But for now, if we focus on cyclocross, I think for her the main goal definitely is to become a world champion under 23, so that is where she's probably going to be aiming for. And I think for now there is no reason to panic. And we will see in the next couple of weeks if that was actually not a reason to panic, or there was maybe already some signs of, you know, sort of a decline in form or whatever. But I don't expect that, to be honest. The training that she did on the Saturday was maybe a bit too much and kind of paid the price for it today. But you will definitely get the benefit of that in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, the question is, where is your goal? And her goal is in 2 weeks. Might not be a walkover this year. I'm expecting a decent opposition from Schreiber, Bentfeld and Zemanova, who wasn't here today. Should be a nice race there. And for Canyon, it seems like it's a bit more of a good fit, a bit of a better fit than it was with EF. For some reason, I just get that vibe. And it's not just because the people were there today. There were a lot of important people there today. I mean, apart from the people like of the UCI who all came out here for this race because it's like in the sun, nice holiday and everything. Anna van der Breggen was there for SD Works because all the road training camps are here. There were a lot of riders from teams also just coming up here to cheer and just to look at everything. Meanwhile, they're also arresting Michael van Turenhout for wearing white pants in the background. But yeah, there were a lot of people here that normally don't come to a cross race, and that also adds to the value of this event. Also, unrelated, I just realized that Alvarado already has won the World Cup. I think I just said that she didn't, but she secured the World Cup overall win with this third place, and it's deserved. Still want to mention a handful of results just outside of the top 10. Magali Rochette 15th today, pretty good showing. Sophie van Bersvorst from Visma Lisa Bike in 17th, also a good result by her. I was pretty surprised to see her pass so high so often. And I would like to end with a pack of first-year U23s. Moors in 19th, good course for her. Molengraaf was 20th, and I finally figured out who the girl in the Italian kit was that kept passing us. It was Frederica Venturelli, who's now racing for UAE, or the U23 team. She was just on the Vash Airport Services bike. And Issam, that was a bit of a surprise. She only raced Antwerp this season. She didn't race Nationals. So I'm thinking, like, this is a rider. She was on training camp here. The Italians gave her a kit, and this is, unfortunately, probably the last time we will see her in action. But this is a super promising result. She was up there with Molengraaf, who was 20th. Like, if she keeps doing cross, she can easily be a contender for medals in U23 Worlds. But at the same time, she's not really the cross type of rider. She's more the road track rider.
I definitely think that she has some talent in cyclocross, but if she wants to utilize most of her potential and unlock that, I would say that the road is definitely the better choice for her. And yeah, it's a bit of a shame that that probably is going to be the last race for her in cyclocross. And I don't know how the next couple of seasons will shape up, but if we already see how it is going with Persico at the moment and how she chose not to ride any races in cyclocross this season, I think that we can sort of expect a similar approach from Venturelli in the next couple of years, and which is a bit of a shame because I think that Italy definitely has those talents, and then sometimes they go to the road, sometimes they go for mountain biking, and sometimes they're not able to unlock that potential in their later stages of their career. So a bit of a shame, but definitely very, it was great to see her around there and see her fight it out with both Molengraaf and Moors. And I think for Molengraaf and Moors as well, it was today, it was such a fast, and the power that you need to use on this course was just insane. And you had some places where you could kind of rest, but overall you're just constantly trying to push those watts. And I think that is definitely for the somewhat younger women and overall just the younger riders, it's just difficult to get in the mix and to have similar results to what you normally would have in a weekend. So it is a bit of an atypical race. And it was overall very good to see them up there and see them fight it out.
I think that will wrap it up for this episode of the Cyclocross Social podcast. Just going to give you the results of the U23 categories. Emil Verstringer won the men U23 race ahead of Jente Michels and Aaron Dox. Bit of a surprise for Dox there in third. This is a good course for him. It's something like Fayetteville Worlds. It's super fast. Dox did well there as well. Men Junior, crazy final lap by Aubin Sparvel, who took the win ahead of Kaya Sole, Jules Simon, and the third. Simon was looking to cruise towards victory. He had a 15-second lead in the final lap, 12-second lead, and all of a sudden, Aubin Sparvel and Kaya Sole accelerated by 20 seconds. The women's junior race was won by Cilicia Géry. Oh, that was a demonstration, led from start to finish, attacked in the first lap. Victoria Gladanova ended second. Good recovery ride by her, and Kat Ferguson ended third. Issam, thank you for being here. It's been a long one. Let's wrap this one up before we head home tomorrow.
Yes, thank you for having me, and a pleasure. And looking forward to leave in a way. I mean, it was a pleasure, but it was quite exhausting in a way. So I'm ready to get home.
Yeah, it was a long day out from 8 till 4. But yeah, it's been good. Next up, Hammen next week and Hoge Heide before we hit the World Championships. Thanks for listening and goodbye.